Welcome to the podcast of Redeemer Baptist Church of Panama. We hope that you enjoy the sermons and other audio provided by us. Feel free to share what you find here, and we hope that it will be beneficial to you as you seek to know and follow Christ.
If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 8. The unit here, again, was 1 through 14, but I could not cover that all in 1 week. So we're looking at the second half now, 8 through 14. And this is life and death stuff. This is crucial. First of all, that as believers, we are united to Christ. That's how we gain all the benefits of our justification. We are united to Christ. We talked about it last week. The death that he died, we died with him. When he died to sin, we died to sin. We are united to him. What was true of Jesus in dying to sin is true of us because we have been united to him. And when he rose from the dead, we are risen to live a new life because we are united with him. That is the power. That is where the power comes from to be able to live a new life. That and the fact that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We are united to Christ. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what gives us power to live a new life. And today, we're going to talk also about the war that we still wage. Because we are in a war. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about the culture wars. I'm talking about the war against the flesh, the war against sin that remains inside of us. Because even though we have died to sin, there is still this sinful presence that remains in our hearts that we will fight and we will fight and we will put to death until the day that we are put in the ground. And when he raises us up again, it will be gone. And he tells us how to wage this war here in these verses. Let's go ahead and look at verses 8 through 14. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that obey. We pray that you would illumine our minds, that we can understand what this text is saying to us. We pray that you would unite your word with your spirit and that your word would do its surgeon's work on our hearts. Cut away sin. Make us stronger for the battle. Help us to take on your strategies instead of our own weak ones. Lord, help us to prepare for battle. Lord, your word brings life. Without your word, we would perish. Lord, feed us on your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the previous verses that we looked at last week, Paul was talking about our union with Christ. And he was answering this objection. In the previous chapter, Paul was talking about the fact that sin ended up causing grace to abound. And so we have this question that was raised against Paul. Well, if sin causes grace to abound, then why not just sin more? Why not just sin more and grace will abound all the more and God will get the glory? And Paul answers that objection, no! What are you, an idiot? That's what Paul says. He says, no! How can you who've died to sin still live in it? Don't you know you're united to Christ? Is his answer. And he continues on with this union with Christ that we see here in verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. He assumes this union with Christ. And since Christ died, he says, we know we've died with him. And because he died and we died with him, we believe that we will also live with him. Now, the idea here, we might get the idea that this is future. And there is a future sense. We will be raised from the dead one day and we will live with him in glory. But not only that, we will live with him in the now. He will walk with us and talk with us as we pray to him. He will live with us. He accompanies us everywhere we go. If we died with Christ, then we will also live with him. He is with us. He is present in our every moment. And we are living now the life of the resurrection. Jesus died. He died to sin. And we, in his death, died to sin. And he rose to live to God, which is what he's about to say. And we are living with him, living a new life, living to God. The next verse. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Jesus was raised from the dead. He's done it. He's accomplished it. He never has to go back and do it again. You know, that's one thing. This is just maybe an aside. This is a little extra here. That's one thing that distinguishes Protestant denominations from Catholicism. In Catholicism, the Mass, they teach, is a reenactment of the sacrifice of Christ every week. Every time they have the Mass, it's a reenactment. And so they believe that Christ is then somehow crucified or offered as a sacrifice every week in the Mass. But the Bible says it was done once for all in history. It was done when Christ died on the cross. Doesn't need to be repeated. He died to sin once for all. Never to die again. And the next verse, or not the next verse, but the next part. Death no longer has dominion over him. Because he died and he'll never die again, death no longer has dominion. Now, a dominion has the idea of reigning over. You know, it's like a king that has ruling over someone. And Jesus submitted to death as he came and died our death for us. He did not deserve death. And death could not keep him down because he was never under the power of death until he came and he willingly died. But we were under death's sway. And he came and he died once for all to die our death so that death will no longer have dominion over him. Verse 10, the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So the death and the life of God, of Christ, the death and his resurrection are both talked about together as kind of one unit. And we know if we've died with him, then we are raised with him. Not just our future resurrection, but we are raised with him. So we died to sin with him. What's true of Christ is true of us because of our union with him. Not saying we're God. I'm just saying we are united to him. So because when he died, we are united with him in his death. And so we are united with him in his resurrection. He now lives to God. And that is also the way we live. We live to God. Now this is stating a statement. This is not saying something about what we need to do at this point. This is saying, this is reality. This is the truth. But now Paul moves in verse 11 and he makes an implication of what, how we are to live on the basis of this truth that he's just told us about. Verse 11. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He tells us the truth about Christ and what he did. He tells us he died. Death has no dominion over him. He's risen from the dead. He has no dominion over him. And now he lives to God. In the same way, we are to consider. This is with our minds. We use our minds. We consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. This is the strategy that we use in our fight with sin. When sin comes knocking at our door, when temptation comes, and we're tempted to give in, for the first, the second, the third, the tenth, the hundredth time. How do we face that temptation? We say to sin, we say to that temptation, I'm dead to you, and I'm alive to God. That's what we say to sin. That's what we say to temptation. We say, I'm dead. We consider ourselves. We have to realize a truth. And that is, when Jesus died, I died with him. He died to sin, and I'm dead to sin. And he rose from the grave to live to God, and I'm to live to God now too. And that's part of our strategy. We realize this reality about Jesus' death and resurrection. We are united to him. So in the same way that Jesus died to sin and he rose to live to God, so do we. We have to wake up and see reality for what it is. Temptation seems so strong in the moment, doesn't it? I speak for myself just as much as I know it is for each one here. Temptation seems so much in the moment. It promises so much. And it's deceitful promises. It promises that we'll have happiness, that we'll have joy. And then when we give in for the second, third, fourth, tenth time, we feel regret. We feel remorse. We feel broken. We almost feel despair. But we have to remember, we are dead to sin. And we are alive to Jesus Christ. He gives us another command. So the first command is we must consider ourselves. So this has to do with a mental activity. We consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Next, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. There is a usurper to the throne. Jesus is king. God is our king. Jesus is Lord. And yet, someone else wants to reign over us. And that is sin. There's a war going on for our souls. God owns us if we're believers. He has already won the battle. We are His, and He is ours. But sin and temptation wants to try to push Jesus out of the throne and take the throne for Himself. And what we're told to do is let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We need to recognize there's a war over our body, our mortal body, this flesh that's going to die someday. There is a war going on for it. And we have to volitionally choose, and by volitionally I mean willingly choose, to say no. I'm not going to let you rule over me, sin. I'm not going to let you. Jesus is my king. You don't belong on this throne. So we are to let not sin take that throne. Instead, we are to let not sin reign over our mortal body to make you obey its passions. That's what sin wants to do. It wants to rule over us, and it wants to make us obey its passions. Now, I have to back up here. Its passions. What is its? It's a pronoun here. No, what's a pronoun? I mean, I'm an English teacher. I can talk about this for a little bit. A pronoun, it refers back to something else in the sentence, right? So is its passions talking about sin's passions, or is it talking about our mortal body's passions? Well, in the English, we can't really tell that clearly, but in the Greek, you can, because they match in gender here. So we know that it's actually sin is trying to reign in our mortal body to cause us to obey the passions of our mortal body. Now, passions, that's desires, can be neutral. We can have good desires, a desire to follow Jesus. Paul uses exactly the same word whenever he says, I desire to be with Christ. There can be good desires, and yet there can be bad desires, sinful desires. And what happens is sin and temptation comes in there and it tries to take captive our desires and twist them and distort them. And make them into something that they're not supposed to be. And as sin does that, we have to tell sin, no, you're not going to do that. Let not, therefore, sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its passions. The next verse. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Now here, he talks about our members, the parts of our body. The parts, you think about the parts of our body that can be used to sin. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. You think of as maybe when we were kids. Or our eyes, what you see. Or feet, where we go. We think about all the different parts of our body that we are tempted to use to sin. And Paul here tells us, do not present these members as instruments to unrighteousness. That's what sin wants us to do. It wants us to offer these and in the service of unrighteousness. Now, instruments here. The word instruments, every other place in the New Testament where this word is used, it's talking about weapons. But here it's translated instruments. But we're talking about a war that's going on. We're a battle against sin. I think we should call these what they are. They're weapons. We can be off presenting our members as instruments, as weapons in the service of the enemy. It's like friendly fire. You know, friendly fire. When there's a war and someone gets hit by their own side's weapons. And so often we do that. We're told, don't present your members. Don't use your body as weapons to destroy yourself. For unrighteousness' sake. Instead, we must present ourselves, our whole selves, to God as those who have been brought from death into life. We are to present ourselves to God, not to the enemy. We're not to put ourselves in the enemy's service to destroy ourselves and use ourselves for unrighteousness, but we are to put ourselves in the service of God who has brought us from death into life. We remember what He's done. He's brought us from death into life. We were dead. 2nd chapter of Ephesians says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but He has brought us to life. We were brought from death into life. And use our members, the parts of our bodies, as weapons for righteousness. That's what our body is intended for. To fight on God's side. To fight for Him. We have to kind of have a replacement here. Sin wants us to use our body in sinful ways. To obey the passions of the flesh. But instead, we should use our bodies for God's glory. By loving others. By serving others. By worshiping Him. By getting down on our faces and praying before Him. Our bodies were designed for God and for His glory and not to obey the passions of sinful lust. And finally, verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Notice this. The first part of the text was all, this is truth. This is truth. This is truth. You are united to Christ. You have union with Jesus. You have been justified by faith, is what we have been seeing all along in the book of Romans up to here. We've been justified by faith. We have union with Christ. We have been reconciled to God. All of that is truth. And we need that truth or we can't obey the verses 11 through 13. 11 through 13 are for Christians. You can't go to a non-Christian with 11 through 14, 11 through 13 and tell them to do that because they don't have the power to do that. 11 through 13, which is saying, so you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Lost person can't do that. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to obey its passions. A lost person can't do that. They're already a slave to sin. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. Do not present your members as instruments to sin, as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death into life. A lost person can't do that because they're not brought from death to life. So all these commands are for Christians who are people are already saved. This is how we fight. We have to fight like saved people. But this last part, we're back to another truth. We started with truth. We're given commands, some strategies of how we fight. And then finally, we're back to truth. For sin will not have dominion over you. Or actually, sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. This is stating a truth. Verse 14 isn't saying, let not sin have dominion over you. That's what we saw in verse 12. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign over your mortal body. Verse 14 says, the reason why we don't let sin reign over our mortal body is because sin won't have dominion over us. This is not circular reasoning. This is just the fact that we have to act like we really are. We have to act in a way that accords with what Jesus has done. He's already set us free. We are no longer slaves. The only way we have the power in order to say no to sin. The only way we have the power to be able to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God is because we are no longer slaves. For sin will have no dominion over you. For since you are not under law but under grace. Now, not under law, but under grace brings up a whole new question. And Paul brings that up in the next verses that we'll look at next week. But in a short term, here's what that means. There was an old system, the old covenant, that was under the law, the Mosaic law. And under the Mosaic law, what did the law have the power to do? All it did was awaken sin. And it had no power to bring life. It awakened sin and death reigned. But we're not under that system anymore. We're in the new covenant. We are New Testament believers. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Christ has come. Christ has come, and again, he has accomplished our salvation. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to do anything for it. He saved us because of what he accomplished. God accomplished this. When Jesus went to the cross, he died our death, and we are united with him again. This is what grace is all about. We get what we don't deserve. We are now adopted as his sons and daughters. We are now alive in Christ. And that's what gives us the power to do what it says in verses 11 through 13. Now, I don't want to talk about this like it's flippant, like it's easy. fighting with sin is deadly stuff. We have to put our sin to death. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes we fail. And I'm not just talking about the big things. I mean, remember what James tells us is a deadly fire, set on fire by hell. The tongue. The way we talk. This is hard. This is not easy. We have to put that sin to death. We cannot let sin reign in any of our members like our tongue, like we are often apt to do. The only way we can ever have any victory over our tongue, over our hands, over our feet, over our eyes, over our heart, any way we can have victory is we have to remember what Christ has already accomplished on the cross. He died for us. We are in union with Him. We are justified by faith alone. We are dead to sin and alive to God.
Thank you for listening to this message from Redeemer Baptist Church of Panama. For more information, please visit us at redeemerbaptistpanama.com, or you can like us on Facebook.